superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, a three-point wedgie!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Why don't we ascribe to the Nuggets what we ascribe to defending champs? I don't see many people today saying, well, that's a heart of a champion.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We've got to stop handling the NBA playoffs like it's an NFL season.
Earlier on the show, Prime Video NASCAR announcer Dale Earnhardt Jr. Coming up, actor, comedian, and author Paul Scheer. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, baby, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. So much to discuss in the world of the National Football League with the schedule being released tomorrow. I'll be on the air on NFL Network from 8 to 11 Eastern Time talking about paperwork, but it's awesome. That's what we'd love to do. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Tom Pelissero, hour number three. We just had a great chat in hour number one with Dale Earnhardt Jr., but to my right is an actor, but also an author.
Wow.
Yes.
I have the book in my hand right here. Joyful Recollections of Trauma. The author, Paul Scheer, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good
What's
to see
up?
You. How
I'm
are you?
I'm excited to be here. What a good day to be here.
Thank you. Did you bring your bottle of Opus 1 to put down on the floor during
it right
this
down
interview?
Down
did you do that? Like a full LeBron move here or what?
LeBron
what
bringing a bottle of Opus 1. That's the last thing I want to do at a basketball game. Be like pouring out like a little glass of wine. It looks, no matter how expensive it is, it looks lame to be like, let's just sip it.
I don't know, man. He had me at hello when I saw that one. I mean, look at that. By the way, flanked by two bottles of water, so he's hydrating.
And a coffee.
Looks like some caffeine. Yeah. It is a mixture. It's
well,
a witch's brew.
For every glass of liquor, you have to drink a glass of water.
That's right.
You
see,
no hangover. Sure. I mean, what do you think? Does this, like, to me, this is creating a scene. I mean, this is all LeBron wants to do is just have a scene go on. I mean, this is like he's taking up more space. If that was a normal person, they'd be like, sir, you can't have 10 bottles underneath your seat here. There's players here. Like,
by the way, here's the two things. Again, I can't get past the Opus One. I would treat the Opus One like Chris Finch treats his surgically repaired leg. You know, I'd be in the first row because I am not going to lose a drop of that thing just because somebody's spilling into the first row. You know what I mean?
If somebody got like Opus One all over them, like, you know, like Darius Garland was just covered in Opus One. I can't get this out. This is a yellow Cavs jersey. It's going to stain.
That's right. It's going to stain. Is there an official detergent of the NBA? Did we just stumble on a commercial?
I think that LeBron should have opened a new bottle of Opus One every quarter. Just like only enough for that. Check it out.
Like a flight. wine tasting through all four courses.
He should have just brought a case of wine, put it under the seat, opened it up.
Look at that.
I love him. I do love LeBron. You can't not love LeBron, but man, oh man, that is a scene.
By the way, that would have been a scene. He would have been trying to create a scene if he did, in fact, have a flight of wine,
yes,
one for each quarter. But why can't the man take in an NBA game? What's the point?
I'm more concerned that he's drinking that red wine and those white pants.
Yeah.
But
that is a bold choice.
Bold choice.
LeBron wants people to talk about him, right? I mean, I think that's it. Like he, you know, his post game, his post exit interview was like, I don't know if I'm staying in LA. Bronny's coming. We're going back to the Cavs. I think everyone wants him to go back to the Cavs. That would be the best narrative for him to retire in Cleveland. Don't you think?
We're going to miss him when he's gone, man.
That's
what I'm sitting here thinking. Literally, that's just what hit me when I'm thinking. Everyone says he's trying to create a stir. He wants to be talked about. Well, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. I have no problem with it. It is awesome.
One of the greatest of all time.
He should be able to go to a game if he wants to go to a game.
But I think he's going to a game for a reason. There's no reason that he's in Cleveland.
Well, his mom is there, and it was Mother's Day on Sunday,
okay.
Paul. Like,
all
I'm
right.
trying to connect
all
dots.
Right, I like it,
he's
I like
a human
it.
Being, is what I'm saying. He drinks wine.
But
it's
his
very
wife,
good wine.
But his wife is here in L.A., Mothers, they did not spend. Are we breaking a story? Did LeBron not know, spend Mother's Day?
She was
sitting next to him.
She's right next to him.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So I'm trying to break a story.
This is
I'm trying
Tom Cruise going to the movies. He doesn't have to go to the movie theater.
No, this is
he
like Tom Cruise.
He doesn't need to go to AMC. He's got a theater in his house.
I don't know.
No, I like that LeBron is out. I think that more players should be out. I mean, I feel like that, like, what is it? Who was just at the, I like when players are watching the playoffs. It's fun. It's fun to see them in the crowd. And I think LeBron being there, for me, gets me excited because I'm like, I would like to see him go to the Cavs, play with Bronny there. I think it's a low-pressure place for Bronny to play. I also think it would be just a great way to end his career. Start and end in Cleveland?
I think so, too. I agree. Or a great way would be to do it here in L.A. and win a championship for the Lakers and then stroll off into the sunset that way.
I guess.
I mean, that would be a way to go. But one last thing on LeBron. I mean, don't you think the players last night, if you polled them, they were jacked up that he was there, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fans are jacked up. When LeBron is there, it's like the president is coming to your game. It's exciting. It's like, and he's going to take that attention, and we're going to look at him in a million different ways. Yes. But if that was like Benny Blanco with, you know, like we would have the same, you know, like the same thing.
Benny Blanco catching strays from Paul Scheer is not on our bingo card. But was LeBron wearing Air Force Ones?
He was.
Okay, so the president was there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Also, if you polled the players, they have to say, oh, it's so cool that LeBron's at the game. No player's going to be like, yeah, I don't care. I wish he would go away.
Wait, let me ask you the real question.
Because they don't. You don't think Tatum was like, I'm going to show them. I'm going
to
show him.
They have to say
that. You don't think deep down he really did think that?
I don't think they care.
I think that, look, it's... I feel like there's a camaraderie off the court, but these guys are like, I'm bigger than LeBron. I want to be better than LeBron. I think on some level, right?
Right.
And so I do believe that, like, it's fun that he's there, but I think when LeBron goes, it's not like to support. It's also to create a little aura around LeBron. It's like, I think it's calculated. I don't think it's bad, and I think we should have more calculations like this, but I just think it's calculated. It's the same reason why, like, Luka shows up in a Camaro wrapped in, like, Jordan sneakers or whatever the hell he's doing. It's obscene. Yeah. You want to do it. It's looks. It's Lexus looks or whatever, like, when they're walking down the runway there.
Yeah, I mean, right. Didn't SGA show up for the game last night looking like he was in the Matrix? You know what I mean?
Like, I love the way SGA dresses and wears his, like, clothes. He wore those, like, Mario boots at one point, those big red Mario boots. It's like, I like those looks.
This may be an unfair question to ask again, since I said it was unfair to ask to begin with Paul Scheer on the Rich Eisen Show. What if Kawhi walked into the Malibu beach house of Doc Rivers all those years ago and said, I have no problem playing with SGA.
Oh, it's my greatest regret. I thought that for sure, all that they need to do is convince Kawhi to play half a season with Shea. That's it. Like, hey, look, I know you can't find your guy. It's rumored to be that, like, Kawhi wanted Jimmy Butler, right? And Jimmy Butler wanted to stay in Miami. Mm-hmm. So just say, play half a season at half, you know, in the middle of the season, we'll figure out who your number two will be if you don't like him. All I would have wanted was that. I think that I know we put all in and we got that big trade, but man, it would have been, I would have liked that so much more. It would have been great to see Kawhi and Che.
I heard a friend of mine gave me an analogy the other day, and I'm sorry if I'm not remembering who it was, if that person's out there watching or listening right now, equated Paul George to Allen Houston, which is great shot, can light it up, and can win a playoff game, can win a playoff series, but to win it all, ain't it. And I don't know if that's a fair analogy or not. TJ, you can chime in as well as the resident Clipper fan here.
I mean, Paul George is better than Allen Houston.
You think?
Yeah. Ooh.
I think that Paul George...
Absolutely.
I think that Paul George is somebody that I really love. I support him as, like, a part of the Clippers team. I thought that he had an exceptionally weak playoff appearance this year. And I thought that all the pieces were there to support him. And I was bummed about how he played in this playoffs. And that was, to me, a tough look when you're going to go into free agency looking for a max contract and, you know, maybe a no trade clause or something like that. Like, I think that's hard. I think that, like, people always are going to crap on him. But I also think that his playoff performances are pretty solid. This year, it wasn't so good. And I think that he carried the Clippers when Kawhi has been out. So I have nothing but love for PG. I just was disappointed with this year.
Yeah, it was my buddy Tom LaSalle, who's a fellow Clipper fan as well. I mean, he threw that one my way, and I'm like, huh.
You know,
because you know, if Allen Houston got the Knicks after Ewing got hurt in '99,
yeah,
to the NBA Finals. You know, he you know, really took care of the Pacers, and so I guess I'm slandering Paul George by saying don't slander Allen Houston. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
Paul George more accomplished, better scorer, more All-Stars, more All-Defensive. But right. When it comes to the playoffs, I guess they're kind of the same guy.
I mean, and I think that he gets his rep because, you know, look, he has his podcast. He came out on the podcast and he was saying like, oh, we lost because we played too much like ISO ball. We didn't like, you know, we didn't move it. The youth is here. I think there's a lot of excuses there. But you had Harden, who I think showed up in a major way.
No question.
A major, major
way. I thought
way.
It worked out better than I thought it would.
I agree. I think that when they put in Kawhi in game two, the reason why we lost game two is because we put in Kawhi in game two. He wasn't ready for it. And game three, clearly not ready for it. When you saw him hanging on that hoop and he couldn't even land on that knee. Yeah. I was bummed for Kawhi. I know he wants to play. I love the Clippers. When I really looked hard at those games, mm-hmm. I you know, what I saw when it comes down to it is we didn't score enough points. You know, it really comes down to it. I was like, we didn't score enough points to win those games.
Paul Scheer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the book called Joyful Recollections of Trauma, are the Clippers mentioned in this
they
book?
They are. I actually, okay. I have a special thanks to Steve Ballmer and the Clippers organization. Look, I am a diehard Clippers fan. It's even hard for me to come on here and tell you my honest thoughts about the team because yes. I don't want to publicly crap on the Clippers. I'm disappointed by this season a little bit. You know, I wonder what we're going to be. I think we are moving into a new situation, and I love the Clippers. I'm a diehard fan. I'll always be a Clippers fan, and I thank Steve Ballmer in there.
I say thank you
to Steve Ballmer and Ty Lue and the entire Clippers organization for making it all worthwhile. That's the very end. Because it does. It keeps me going throughout the year. I love this.
Well, I'll tell you what. Ballmer is the we're about to see the FX version of the story involving Donald Sterling. That's about to hit, I believe, top of June, right?
Yeah. We got Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill's Lawrence. Coming in to promote it.
I'm bummed out about this. The Clippers can't get out from this like terrible cloud. You have a Lakers show called Winning Time. Then you got this show called Clipped. And I'm like, oh man, can we just get anything nice? And people come up to me and they're like, oh, what about your Clippers? What about your Clippers? And I'm like, what about everybody? I mean, come on. Like, no one's like talking about, oh, Luka's playing terrible in this playoffs. No one's talking about that. But I will say that I can't. Like, people want to crap on the Clippers. They want to.
Well, I was saying Ballmer's a perfect owner to turn the page to. Somebody who is engaged, somebody who is out of his skull in a good way, and somebody who is incredibly well-moneyed and has a sense of competition that probably is second to none, which is why he's got all the money that he has.
Yeah.
And I like Ty Lue. Obviously, there's a lot.
Ty, I think,
good
has
here.
Problem is like, how do you take this team to the next level? You have a lot of older players. Health. I mean, that's our thing that we've been saying for 4 years. We have the same problem. Health. And it's like, and it sucks. It just sucks. It's like, well, we never get to play a full playoff with Kawhi. We know that Kawhi can be lethal. We know that Kawhi and PG and James Harden had that like little run there where they were lethal. But when you look at Ant and you look at the team in Minnesota, you look at OKC, you're like, oh, youth is here and we're an older team. And I love people like Terrence Mann. I like Brandon Boston. I like, you know, I like Bones. I like that youth core that we have. But I think for us to make a move into the future, we're going to have to, I think we have to find that youth, that younger thing, because we do have a lot of older players. It's like, how many more years do all these guys have? Russ, Harden, PG, it's like they're all kind of on the tail end. And that, while it's a great construction of a team, it's just a team that doesn't play that much.
Let's talk about your book, Paul Scheer. Why'd you
Joyful Recollections? So for the last 14 years on How Did This Get Made, I've been telling stories about my childhood. And every time I do, they seem to shock my co-hosts, one of which is my wife, June Diane Raphael, and the other one, Jason Mantzoukas. So I'll be like, oh yeah, my grandma would tell me that story about like, you know, the butcher who, if you answered the door when no one was home, would take you and then chop you up into chop meat. And they're like, wait, what? It's like, yeah, yeah, you know, everyone knows about the butcher. And I would tell that story about like a mom buying chopped meat and putting together a burger. And then the burger looks up at the mom and goes, mommy, you know, and they're like, what are you talking about? That is horrific. And I'm like, oh, that was just like a fun story my grandma told me. And so years of doing these kind of stories that just came up organically, people are like, you should write a book. And so, yeah, it's this kind of joyful recollections of trauma, looking back at these kind of like very pivotal, crazy moments in my life. And I think that there's a lot of stories you might know or think you know, but for the first time, I'm kind of telling a bigger story.
I love it. Where all books are sold. Check it out. You got a good story from any cameo from the league from back in the day, your favorite
story, my favorite
NFL player showing up behind the scenes, anything we don't
know.
I think you got a good one.
The
for me?
Thing to for me was that NFL players always came on and they were better than some actors that we had on the show. Mm-hmm. Cause I think they approach it like a game. Like he was like, all right, this is what you have to do. You just have to react like yourself. And like JJ Watt, was great, came on, figured out what he was going to do, had to leave set in the middle of shooting. Like, literally, we're doing a scene. He's like, gotta go, guys. We're like, wait, where are you going? He's like, gotta go work out. So I never had done that before, where in the middle of a scene, a player's like, I gotta go find a local gym go.
Did his alarm go off on the phone?
We were like, where's he going? It's like, yeah, he's gotta get that pump on. And, you know,
he couldn't wait for an hour until the end of the shoot.
But, you know, talking about LeBron, this is what I hear about LeBron. Like LeBron, an alarm goes off. He's eating. He's got to go do something. It's like you got to get in there and just go, you know. So but every player that we had was really fun. I'm trying to think of Terrell Suggs, my favorite guy that we had on the show.
T-Sizzle
comes on the show and it's like early on in the show. And they don't want to tell him what the scene is. They basically say, Terrell, you just react to Paul. He's throwing a party. He's going to tell you what the party is, and you just react as yourself. Now, I'm freaked out because it's my first year on the show, and the premise of the bit is I'm throwing a white party. Very similar to, you know, what they have goes on in the Hamptons or what the owner of the Clippers used to do.
Yes.
So a white party, right? So you have to be dressed in white. So Terrell Suggs comes. He's not in white. I'm like, hey, you can't come in. It's a white only party. And so that was the way that we had to start this scene with Terrell Suggs, right? And you saw his eyes go gunk, and then he figured out and he was hilarious. And we had this like big long scene. I loved improvising with him. He just got it right away. And Terrell Suggs is the only player who's like, hey, can I come back and just shoot more? We're like, yeah, what do you want to do? We put him in promos because he was just down to have fun.
How about that? What was Marshawn Lynch like?
Marshawn Lynch probably is the most infamous cameo in the league history because we shoot this whole show and we have this bit for Marshawn. Can't get in touch with Marshawn. Marshawn's not going to happen. We wrap the show. I am getting ready to get on a plane. I'm going to Europe with my wife. We're taking a break after the shooting of the show. I get a call the night before. Marshawn's in. We have to shoot with Marshawn tomorrow. I'm like, I'm leaving to go to Europe tomorrow. And they're like, we're going to get it done in the morning. You'll still make your flight. Marshawn is coming. So this whole crew, we've all been shut down for a week because the season was over. We rebuild the entire show. We get the whole set ready to go from Marshawn. We're on set waiting. It's super early. And then we found out Marshawn didn't leave his hotel in Seattle. We're like, what? What do you mean? He's like, yeah, no, his agent is freaking out. He can't get in touch with him. He's still in Seattle. We're like, what do you mean? And then this like Ferrari or some fancy car that I'll never be able to afford comes driving in. And who is it? It's Marshawn. And he was playing a joke on his manager. He told his manager, oh, I'm still in Seattle. Like he had made it. He was on time on the flight, but he just was pranking his manager that he did not get up that morning.
Oh my God.
Then came and then killed it and was hilarious. Well, absolutely amazing. One of my favorite players of all time. But it was like everyone was in such a panic. And his manager, like when that car pulled up and he got out, I was like, hey, I got you. Funny. That was funny, right? That was funny. Like, and everyone's like, It was the best prank I've ever seen.
So you, for a split moment, thought I just pushed my plans, or I might not make my European vacation flight with my wife.
Yeah, I mean, and for nothing, to sit in a parking lot in Van Nuys, like to shoot this scene with like Taco. I will tell you, and this is we were talking about Bomber before, and
yeah.
I was shooting Serge Ibaka's cooking show. Yeah, you heard that right. Serge Ibaka's cooking an interview show. And my favorite moment from that was we have Steve Ballmer on the show. And Serge Ibaka is about to start the interview. And he goes, picks up his card and he goes, Steve, tell me about Microsoft. And Steve was like, what? He's like, Microsoft, what is Microsoft? and that to me, I was like, this is the owner of your team. It's Microsoft. And then I was like, Serge, it's Microsoft. He's like, yeah, you wrote it weird. It looks like Microsoft. I'm like, yeah, it does. It does technically look like Microsoft. All of a sudden became like that that college graduation. Did you see that clip of the mispronunciations at the college?
Oh, yeah. It was like a Key and Peele skit. Yeah, it was like Balake, Aaron, you know? I thought it was a joke. It was not a joke.
It was not a joke.
I saw that. Did you see this clip?
I did not.
Yeah,
no,
these
no,
people
no.
are coming up and getting their diplomas. And
a
their
person's name is Thomas Michael, and they're like Thomasy Mukalele. Like it's like it's not. It's it was nothing.
It was like Adele Dazeem was getting a diploma.
I thought it was insane. The person doing it was having a stroke because it kept on happening. All the names were the most straight down the middle names. There were nothing confusing about it.
Confusing.
And the school was like Thomas Jefferson School, and this guy's name was Thomas Michael, and she couldn't even get that right.
Yeah. It's insane. So how did Ballmer respond to Microsoft?
He's like, well, I'll tell you about it. It's the reason why I own your team. Serge Ibaka was not a great one with the follow-up. So he did say, Serge, here's a question. Who's better to work for, Lawrence Frank or Bill Gates? And he's like, oh, Lawrence Frank, 100%. I mean, Bill Gates is insane. Then Ballmer like, you go to clubs. Like, no, you got to follow up that. You got to follow up that question. How is Bill Gates insane? But that was fun.
Clubs, Microsoft. Oh, my God. Paul, this is a delight. Thanks for coming, brother.
Thank you for having me. You bet.
Joyful Recollections of Trauma, where all books are sold out next week. We can pre-order
right
now.
Yeah, you can pre-order right now. You can get it. The audiobook, anything you want, you can get it right now.
Did you do the audiobook?
I did the audiobook, and it has a bunch of extra clips on it, stuff from my home videos, and then stuff from How Did This Get Made?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Good stuff, brother.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Come in anytime.
I would love it, yes.
Let's just chop it up whenever you want to.
I can't
please,
wait.
Please, that would be great.
And I'll just take this bottle.
I usually have a bottle of premium wine.
What if LeBron is there to recruit Spider Mitchell to come to the Lakers?
See, ooh. Like, why can't he just go to Mother's Day and
Do
then
you
say,
really think that? Do you why really, really think that he just showed up?
I think he's in Ohio for Mother's Day and is just like, do you want to go to the game? Who wants to go to the game?
Check game time and see the last second deal.
He came in on the first timeout. He couldn't have gotten a more, like he came in on the first timeout. Of course he wanted everyone to know he was there. He didn't sneak in. Come on, how many Cavs games does he go to?
He could have played the Imperial
Honestly,
March.
He could afford the Cavaliers corkage fee. Just bring it in. He's bringing his own wine.
So apparently Dan Gilbert hooked the whole thing up with
I'm
him,
sure
so,
he did.
Yeah. Oh, so, man. Oh, man.
You guys are ruining our fun.
Yeah, you know what? And by the way, we need something to talk about. We want him to go to Cleveland. It would be great.
But like I said, he doesn't have to do this. It's not a power play.
It's not a power play. But I think the power play is... Everyone is talking today about that and not about how the Mavs blew it and not about how the Celtics look soft.
Nice. Says a Clipper fan.
By the way, I love the Celtics, but they're looking a little bit like...
We just do the same stuff every year.
By the way, the only power play was like, I'm going to show up in the middle of the first quarter timeout.
Yes.
And I'm going to have a bottle of Opus One wine wearing white pants and white Air Force Ones. Yeah. And that is a power play.
I mean, like, that I'm is. One spill and very, then he looks, then it looks honestly, silly. Yeah.
then he does, right. Again, Joyful Recollections of Trauma out next week. Pre-order it right now. Paul Scheer, good to see you,
Thank
sir.
You so much.
You got it. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show with your phone calls. And also, Jared Goff got pizzayed. We'll discuss that coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Mike Del Tufo, are you out there, Mike?
Yes, I'm here, Rich. Okay. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. So what are you revealing? You've got right here. You got
right up here above me is a brand new Rich Eisen Show sign.
A new Rich Eisen Show sign.
Am I going to do it now?
You see this?
Yeah, here we go. Let's
here we
do
go.
It.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Just hope it doesn't come down in your
what
head.
What an odd fit.
I can't do it because the way it's
just
set up.
To put down the microphone, dude.
I can't.
This is the worst reveal ever.
Keep pulling, Del Tufo.
Just put the microphone down.
This is good, Rich. This is good.
He's gonna bring down the whole thing.
Yes.
Pull both of the boards, you.
Hey.
No, we cannot have this as the reveal.
He does
this
audio.
This cannot be the reveal.
He does audio. He does not do manual labor.
That's the way it's messed up there. I can't.
Del Tufo, walk up the stairs, Del Tufo.
Yeah, okay.
The not reveal.
He's going to walk up the stairs.
Oh, no, I can't because I can't climb
it's
to where
not
that
reveal.
Is.
Yeah, you can. That's up to the
No, you can't.
Story.
It's you got to have a cable. You guys don't know OSHA rules. See, they screwed me. They did this on purpose. I'm convinced.
Yeah, it's against you, Mike.
I'm telling you.
Del Tufo, just tell everyone out there you don't have any change for them.
Just pull it. Give them good jersey pull. Put them
on. Yeah, there you go. Watch.
Put the microphone down and pull it.
Pull the other one.
You're a big man. Yank it. Yank it.
Oh,
this is so much better.
Oh, Mike, all right, Mike, come back in here and screw up the audio now, Mike.
Man. Oh, boy. Marshall Faulk. Laughing his ass off.
He's crying.
Fun stuff, brother. Woo. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Folks have been hanging on for a while. A lot of fun conversations right there with Dale Jr. and with Paul Scheer.
I can't commiserate with Paul Scheer about these clips.
Yeah, I know, right? Thomas in Cincinnati has been hanging on since jump. What's up, Thomas?
One, Mike. Boom. How's it going? Hey, thanks for pronouncing my name right. A little bit better than Thomas Jefferson.
No, my God. Everyone should check out that video. Cool. It is wild. I thought I was ready for Keegan-Michael Key to just jump out.
It was horrible.
What's up, Thomas?
I couldn't believe it. So I want to still keep on defending Joe Burrow as being the second best quarterback. I know it was talked about yesterday, but I really believe this is going to be his best year. I mean, everyone keeps on worrying about his injuries, but I mean, Joe Montana had 56 injuries. Shout out Kay Adams for that fact. But I thought that was great. And also, he's got weapons that he hasn't had before around him this year. I mean, Jermaine Burton's looking great in camp, and then having what's the tight end's name again? Gosh, I'm blanking.
What, for the for the Cincinnati Bengals you're talking about? Listen, Thomas. I'm with you, and thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for holding on as long as you did.
Mike Gesicki's.
Well, I mean, he's new to the team. Yeah. Listen, I believe Joe Burrow, when healthy, is the second best quarterback in the National Football League. Period. End of story.
But the problem is, you have to say when healthy.
When healthy, yeah. Because the kid blew his knee out in his first season, and then last year had a calf injury in training camp that looked like an Achilles injury, and thank goodness was not, and then clearly wasn't ready to start the season when he did, and then finally got his figurative sea legs under him, only to have some sort of freak wrist injury happened when he fell down to the ground. So will we find out? Like, that's, this year is a big year for Joe Burrow in terms of that. Also, because I believe the Bengals are going to do the Mike Brown thing and hold their ground with the two guys that want trades. Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins aren't going anywhere. And they're going to have to stare down a holdout if that's what they want to do. And I don't think holdouts work anymore. I don't think they really did back in the day either. I mean, one of the more famous holdouts that actually worked was Emmitt. Mm-hmm. But that was in a totally different era of free agency and franchise tags and whatever. So I think this is a big year for Burrow because this is probably the last year he's going to have Higgins and Chase. So, you know, and I hope for his sake he stays healthy, because if he doesn't, then he's clearly got that knack. Or knock. I think he's got the knack, man. It's kind of a big year for him. Now, when Jared Goff got traded to the Lions, when you are traded, okay, and
as a former number one overall pick.
Right. Four number one overall pick, and you are traded for another quarterback, and you also come with first round picks. Okay,
you are kind of the throw in.
You're basically now being viewed as, you just said, a throw in, because the Rams, getting Stafford, traded their starting quarterback who had been to a Super Bowl and was a former number one overall pick, and gave draft capital to the Lions with their quarterback. I don't know how many times we'll ever see that again, ever. Mm. And the concept was, at the time, Sean McVay, offensive genius, which he is still viewed as, rightfully so, looked at Jared Goff and said, he ain't it. Mm. And the Lions were like, Stafford wants out. Clearly, it's now time to part ways. And we'll see if Goff is it. But we're hedging our bets. And at the time, I don't think there's any human being on the planet that does what we do for a living here on this program, anywhere, thought that Jared Goff would get another contract with the Detroit Lions for market value plus. Nobody thought that was possible. Period. End of story. And nobody thought that the Detroit Lions would damn near make the Super Bowl with him.
And nobody thought that if it did happen, it would have possibly happened just last year. And nobody thought that Detroit Lions fans would be chanting his names at Tiger games. Okay.
That was hilarious.
So this has become an absolute love affair between the Lions and Jared Goff. And yesterday, when we had Brad Holmes on this program, and I asked him his philosophy on signing players early, because again, I'm digging for information on roster building, because that is going to be the conversation about your Dallas Cowboys, which is always a conversation in our world, until they sign Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons to new deals. Because the longer they wait,
the more it's going to cost.
The more it's going to cost for Dak and CeeDee Lamb. There's Justin Jefferson sitting out there. And Micah Parsons, there's always going to be some pass rusher, elite pass rusher, who's going to get paid. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got one. Everybody's in search of one if they don't have one. They're trying to draft one. So the longer you wait, the price is going to go up. And that's why I asked Brad Holmes about Amon-Ra St. Brown. You made him the highest paid receiver in the league until A.J. Brown became that the next day. And he kind of hemmed and hawed, didn't give an answer. Because who knew at the time? They were crossing T's and dotting I's with Jared Goff on a monster $200 million deal. Oof, plus.
Maybe.
170 of it guaranteed. 212, the New York area code.
Dang.
That goes a lot further in Detroit than it does in L.A.
It sure does. Yeah. And congrats to Jared Goff, who proves. So that's Jared Goff getting this deal in the same offseason that Baker Mayfield got his deal. That first round, first overall draft choices can go somewhere else and have a heck of a career to the point where you're getting paid like this.
Yep.
And right now, there's only one quarterback in terms of an annual per year, the APY, as they say, average per year.
Yep.
Only one quarterback making more than Jared Goff on that list right now, and his name is Joe Burrow. Burrow makes $55 million on an average per year basis.
Yo.
Goff is at 53, Justin Herbert at 52.5, Lamar at 52, and Jalen Hurts at 51. Three of the five on the screen have been to a Super Bowl. The only ones who have not is the two-time MVP and reigning MVP of this league in Lamar. And the Chargers with Justin Herbert have yet to win a playoff game. They've made one playoff season. He was up by a ton in Jacksonville, and we all know what happened. And so keep this up on the screen for the moment, if you don't mind. This is the way it goes. You draft one top five and or have somebody like Jalen Hurts making a Super Bowl, and you then have to pay that individual the record amount that you're paying him. And you do it before the other team does it. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, Herbert got paid before Burrow, Hurts before Lamar. Actually, Hurts and the Eagles solved the Rubik's Cube for the Ravens and Lamar. And you're basically doing it on the come, hoping that somebody can bring a Lombardi trophy, that Justin Herbert's going to do it. If it doesn't happen with a certain coach, you swap him out for Jim Harbaugh and you find out that today is the day. Okay, so these are the $50 million APY club in the National Football League. You're looking at the five of them. And you could sit here and say Jared Goff isn't deserving of it. It's too expensive. The price will only continue to go up. Goff had to get done eventually because you saw the love affair between the town and him. You see what he's doing for Amon-Ra St. Brown and the rest of that offense. You have it all built around his skill set already. He has shown you he can do it in this town. He damn near took him to the Super Bowl last year. He has taken a team to the Super Bowl before. He can definitely do it again. Don't take the cheese. Period. Interestingly enough now, let's take a look at 6 through 10 in this list. Mahomes is sixth.
I want to talk about a bargain deal, 12-year deal. They constantly are redoing it. Okay, so with the latest adjustments, his APY is $46.3 million a year. $200,000 more than Kyler. Okay, 46.1. Deshaun Watson, it is time. You want to talk about staying healthy? Ohio quarterbacks that you're wondering about health?
Well, it's now or never.
It's time. And there, sitting at $45 million, is Kirk Cousins with a rookie right behind him. More on that later on, because he showed up on Bussin' with the Boys.
Two-year deal.
We'll see.
Two-year deal.
And then Josh Allen. You want to talk about a bargain as well? $43 million. Just only a couple million more than Daniel Jones. So I'm just pointing out here the going rate for quarterbacks, and the Chiefs have got it the best, which is your guy is the best quarterback in the National Football League, may wind up being on the Mount Rushmore of the National Football League if he isn't already there already. And he's not even in the top five in annual average. That's nutty. That's crazy. And the other five guys that you see on the list here, Kyler Murray made one playoff season. The Rams boat raced him. Deshaun Watson has not shown up healthy or without baggage for the Cleveland Browns. This year is huge, and that's why I think the league recognizes that. Threw him in Dallas for week one on Fox. Kirk Cousins in the Andrew Brandt Business Hall of Fame, Sports Business Hall of Fame. I mean, how many playoff wins does he have? Two, right?
Kirk Cousins?
Just one. I think he still has the one win for Minnesota in New Orleans, right? So, and then there's Josh Allen, who everybody believes has Super Bowl written all over him one day to finally bring it to Western New York. So put Jared Goff in this mix now. He's top 10.
Got to win.
He's top two in terms of average per year.
Kirk Cousins, 1-4 in the playoffs.
So you're spending the money on hoping that you can catch lightning in a bottle. You're spending the money for young quarterbacks that you've already seen some otherworldly ability, hoping that just keep it going and we'll build around him. And the first one, and you take a look at the list here. How many guys have swapped teams and have been left for dead because they got traded to a spot with first round picks and then wound up getting paid like this? And that's why I'm rooting for Jared Goff too. So don't throw Justin Fields out, you know, or anybody else yet. Never know. Just wind up in the right spot, and maybe they'll be chanting your names in baseball stadiums too. We'll talk about it with Tom Pelissero coming up in hour number three. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Still more to come. Jets at 49ers, Monday Night Football, huh? Okay, we'll talk about it. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's I-B-O-T-T-A in the Google Play or App Store and use my code Eisen.
So lately, I've been on a mission to change the way people view their finances and to encourage people to overcome obstacles and adversity. It's just more and more important to me every day. So I've teamed up with the folks at LifeSurge. LifeSurge is a one-day faith-based event where you'll walk in hungry for success and you'll leave ready to build your resources to leave an impact on others. We're talking faith-fueled finance, growing resources, crushing obstacles, and then, yeah, using it all for something way bigger than yourself. I'll be joining LifeSurge in Cincinnati on Saturday, August 3rd. Joining me in Cincinnati is Nick Vujicic, the man with no arms or legs that speaks about his trials and triumphs. Soul surfer and author Bethany Hamilton, Duck Dynasty's Willie Robertson, and author and pastor Craig Groeschel, star of CNBC's The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis, and Bethel Music. That's LifeSurge Cincinnati on Saturday, August 3rd. Tickets are on sale exclusively at LifeSurge.com. I hope to see you there.
Back here on our program, everybody, had a absolute corker of a wiffle ball game in the backyard.
Oh,
last night.
Corker.
Oh yeah.
What's that mean?
Corker, yeah.
It was very
intense.
Intense.
Nice.
Like World Series. I thought you meant you corked the bat.
No, actually, Cooper broke one of the plastic bats, hitting one of my spinning cheese in the zone. And we lost about 15 wiffle balls last night.
Oh, wait.
Were the teams over the wall? Or just
over the wall. See you later.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor was pitching. Zan came in. He hit one of those. He hit a bullet straight up and nearly knocked, took my head off. But I hit one, a bases loaded grand slam off of Coop.
Hey.
And I mean, I made.
You let him hear about it?
No, I made Big Poppy look like Devin Hester. I took my sweet time.
Pimped it.
I made Big Poppy look like Devin.
Well, I didn't bat flip because anyone hit somebody in the head. You see that video?
Yeah. I saw
somebody bat flipped and hit an ump
hit
in the
umpire.
Head?
The umpire was kind of walking down the third baseline and the guy wasn't looking and
flipped the bat. I know.
Whack. And he went down.
Knocked
out.
Yeah.
Like a cartoon.
Tossed it about 15 feet. I mean, Jeez. He hit him kind of square.
I know.
Not good.
So.
Love it.
Did that last night.
Nice work.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, it was four innings. Went back and forth.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Battle.
Yeah. There were some tears sometimes, too. It was intense. It was intense. You know? But it's fun. Good stuff, man. I actually woke up today. I'm like, that was fun last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly since I pimped it on my child.
Oh,
back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. So the first Fox game of the year was announced yesterday at the Fox Upfronts.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. And the rare week one double header.
Game of the week.
Well, listen, when Fox calls things America's game of the week, like the other games are kind of, it's absurd. Listen. I think last year they had both networks, CBS and Fox, had late window games. This is an exclusive full country gets to watch window.
Right.
And week one. That's why CBS announced today their big game to start the season, it was week two, because that's going to be
their window
when they have the Bengals at the Chiefs. But Dallas and Cleveland is going to be Tom Brady's broadcast debut. So it's an exclusive window for TB12 to be out there. And Dallas will be visiting Cleveland.
Love it.
I might have to go to that.
Love it.
And so they're going to go check out Amari Cooper, see what's up with him. Just in case you're wondering what he's up to.
No, I see him.
And man, oh man. I mean, obviously the Cowboys have tons of tough games on their schedule. But this one is the old sneaky tough. Sneaky tough.
I don't think this is sneaky anymore.
Well, I mean, dude. I get it. But when you're talking about, big Cowboys game, you're talking about Niners, you're going to talk about the Eagles, you're going to talk about, you know, when they take on the Lions, again, because they do. The Lions go back to Dallas, and we're going to make sure everything's clean, you know. And
Brad Allen not doing that game?
I don't know. Knowing the league, they
typically.
You know what they should do? They should have sort of a cross flex. They should have Scott Foster do that game and Brad Allen do a game that we really want.
Now we're talking.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
And finals game. And both the NBA and the NFL tell Major League Baseball, you keep
Angel and CB Buckner stay over there.
You keep Angel and CB Buckner.
Yeah, you guys stay over there.
But I'll tell you what, man. With that offensive line now having a little bit of shift on that left side, with Tyron now wearing green, having Myles Garrett come from Dak, look out! That's a fascinating one. And Tom Brady at the mic. Again, the question's going to be until you hear from him the first time, and I imagine it'll be in a preseason game.
Yeah, he'll have to do a preseason.
That you'll have to sit there and wonder what is he going to say anything? Is he going to be critical? What's he going to say? Now this, you know, when there's banter at an upfront, it's not like you're flying a wall anywhere. They're reading off prompters usually, right. Whatever. But this was the moment where they announced the Cowboys and the Browns are going to play each other in the first game on Fox. Brady was out there with Michael Strahan. Here was the exchange between the two.
So how do you like that news? You get to the Cowboys first week.
Amazing. Obviously, having the Cowboys on is a huge draw. As America's team, that's going to get a little hard for me to say that all the time. I understand they were the competition for a long time. But in this new role, I know the Cowboys, how important they are to this network. They got great storylines. Come on, Dak Prescott. Let's see if he can finally come through. One of the great defensive players. Did that just slip out?
Not wrong.
Settle down just a little bit.
Not wrong.
Do you think that comes from jealousy because Dak
jealousy
beat him in his last game? Wait, and retired?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. No, jealousy. Jealousy. About what?
What? Yeah. What?
Jealous.
Wow.
I mean, he's got a point, though, I guess.
Yes. Tom Brady could literally take a Super Bowl ring, mold it into his IFB, both ears, yes, and still have five left.
It's true.
True. Yeah.
Well, the rings are so large, you could probably make one headset one out ring. Of just one ring. You don't have to blow two rings up like that.
Just one ring.
I mean,
jealousy.
Jealous.
Of what?
I mean, that was great.
Tom's going to be awesome.
He is.
I don't understand people saying, you know, they don't get it, they don't buy it, they don't think he's going to be good. He's going to be amazing like he is at everything else. No one thought he was going to be funny. No one thought he could take jokes. And the roast was a huge hit. Still number one on Netflix over a week later. It's going to be great. This season's going to be awesome.
Let me tell you, if anybody was wondering if Brady's got a thick enough skin to do the job, again, check out Netflix here on the Roku portal. But that said, I think that did just slip out where he's just like, let's see if Dak can finally do something here. And
he's all in.
That's it. And by the way, you know what, Browns fans, they probably won't use this as any motivation, but Fox announced the first game is Dallas. They just said Dallas. That's it. They led with the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are their first game. And then
entire sports landscape.
They're taking on the Browns. I don't know. Was there an audible groan in the crowd?
The Browns are there too.
The advertisers are like, oh. It's not the Eagles? Oh. It's not the Niners?
Niners.
That's not their road game? Oh, it's the Browns.
It's a game in a week. We're good.
Dude, let's see. I'm rooting for Nick Chubb coming back, huh? How about that one?
I mean, I hope Nick Chubb is back.
Oh, but by the way, Zeke back in Ohio. How about that?
Because
that's right. Let's see how Rico Dowdle's going to run downhill.
Hold on. Let's see if there's a line out for that game.
That's a line out.
Brockman.
Are you really looking to see what line?
Yes.
Are they really putting a line on a game like 6 months in advance?
Oh, yeah. Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites over the Ravens.
That's insane. This is insane.
Cowboys, 1.5.
What am I clowning on?
You keep clowning like Rico Dowdle. Can he do this or that? How many running backs in the last two seasons have come out literally nowhere?
No, it's true.
I don't know where it happens.
You're right, sir.
And had really decent seasons.
I don't mean.
I can give you a whole list of them. So you're trying to clown, but it's like you never
I don't
know.
Mean. I don't mean to clown Dowdle.
I think you do mean
Dowdle clowning.
You intentionally
Dowdle clowning.
Dallas 1.5-point favorites over the Browns. Oof. Niners, six and a half over the Jets.
Can I ask you this question? Can I ask this question? What's the science behind that? Seriously, like, who sits down, whose job it is, like, okay, I got a game. All right, let me sit down. Let me roll up my sleeves. Let me take out my slide rule or whatever the hell it is. And they come out with 1.5. On May 14th,
this game
is September 8th. Really?
And here's my question. Is there one person who does this? Is there a committee? I don't understand how these lines are
under this old sands in Vegas with guys smoking cigars.
I think for the online sportsbooks now, the DraftKings, the FanDuels, I think it's just an algorithm and they...
What do they do to it? What does that mean?
Outspits a number.
Do they make that noise when they put the numbers
in?
Yeah,
like, everything makes that noise.
I like that.
Chiefs, though? Chiefs, so Chiefs 2.5? I mean, that seems reasonable, right?
Dumb.
Seems reasonable.
That's actually a good
one. So are people, like, actually getting those odds now and they can save it for 5 months?
Is that the worst? They can just bet it now.
And lock it in? And lock it in. It's like, like a mortgage.
Lock it in.
You lock in the rate.
Okay, but just like worst case scenario, you lock in 2.5 on the Chiefs now. Lamar Jackson has a preseason injury. Suddenly the line goes to 6, 7, 8.
You got the 2.5.
Now you got the 2.5.
It's actually smart to do it now.
Actually, you know what? You just said gambling on a game 6 months before it is smart. You literally just said those words.
I'm joking.
No, you're not.
Addicts, Rich. There's an addiction.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.